Show Me Some Lab Ethos. By Dudi Seescree. Words to Elate. Fifth Agenda. Copyright, 2016, Dudi. No part of this book should be redistributed without prior permission from the author, both in print, portable digital format and online. Disclaimer. All readers are welcome to challenge the contents of this book, and should process them with their uttermost intellectual capabilities before they can assess them for reference purposes, because they are largely a work of the author's own personal opinions. Some stories given as examples in this book do not represent factual or historical events, but have been used fictitiously to bring out the literal aspects of discussions, and also demonstrate the author's intended thoughts and ideas exemplarily. Do not take them too seriously. This book is stacked up with numerous mini-chapters the author refers to as experiments. Each experiment stands for each idea or topic of discussion. You will also find some non-English words, the author has used them only for the sake of enhancing description. They are not a result of typo. Contents. Experiment 1, A Farmer's Peach. Experiment 2, Nazi Philosophy. Experiment 3, Intelligence versus Wisdom. Experiment 4, The Dino Doctor. Experiment 5, So Far So Fresh. Experiment 6, Mad Science Projects. Experiment 7, Creatures of Mixed Blood. Experiment 8, Bubble Membrane. Experiment 9, Intellectual Freedom. Experiment 10, The Intellect of the Greeks. Experiment 11, The Rise of Evil Scientists. Experiment 12, Combo Meal. Experiment 13, Lab Farm. Experiment 14, A Brazen Bug That Rocked the World. Final Clause. Footnotes. Experiment 1, A Farmer's Peach. A farmer once gave a pair of peaches and apples to two of his two playful kids. "Enjoy yourselves, boys," he said, and walked out to visit his farm holding an axe on his shoulders. He strolled away slowly as he always did. As soon as he was gone, the playful kittens started a game of jostling with one another. They could not have enough fun. Soon it was getting to noontime, the sun becoming hotter as the kitten began to feel hungry. They looked at the clock. It was almost late in the evening. It was now growing dark. When the farmer finally returned in the evening, he found them dozing on a doormat. "We are very hungry, Papa," they exclaimed. "What did you do to the fruits I left you?" he asked them angrily, then raised his head a little to look at the mess the ugly ducklings had created. The entire house surface was filled with fruit juice, the walls, the paintings, the furniture, and the floor too was slippery. They had been throwing things around using eddies as darts, a game of hide and seek, the sharpshooter manual, etc. A while ago the farmer had done almost the same. He gave them two oranges and went back to his room. When he came out, he found that one of them had put on sunglasses while the other had a notebook making some drawings of the fruit. They had the orange sliced into a half and now were pretending to be scientists studying a strange specimen, uttering unknown words as their vocabulary of profession. The farmer was very furious at this sight and therefore smacked off the pieces from their table. "I gave you these oranges so that you can find a knife to eat them, not play with them," he rebuked them. Experiment 2, Nazi Philosophy. A group of scientists, philosophers, and activists have embarked on a mission to inform the world that if something is not done on time, planet Earth will perish. Everything must be cut, 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 and more cutting. Cut the consumption of fossil fuels, cut public transport, cut mining, cut everything including the population. They claim that the only sure way to reduce consumption and such a dangerous lifestyle is to slash the human population by a huge portion, probably by a half or more. Now things start to get ugly and a once exciting discussion turns into a sour debate. A vast majority of the populace reject this agenda. These people are going to commit worse atrocities than anyone that has ever lived. They are going to do much more despicable things than the Nazis. When the people chat saying the Nazis were indeed extreme, but not as evil as these modern-day scientists, the Nazis at least targeted a selected group of people, but these humongousaurs here want to destroy us all. The most amusing part is that none of them ever lives long enough to see how the world is transformed. They too found themselves on Earth. Just the same way all others do, they did not mold the earth, they simply found it here. If you are the ones who placed the human populations on earth, you can do anything you wish with them, if not, then you have no right to take them away. If planet earth will perish, then let it be so. It's not in our comprehension to reason out such things, they are beyond any human comprehension. They think they understand everything when they have touched only a tiny speck of the whole thing. They think they can make a huge difference when they can actually do nothing about it. What shall you do? Are you going to stop people from going to work because their cars are polluting the air? Are you going to stop people from cooking their food because their gas is producing dangerous smoke? If you want to get rid of human populations, start with yourself and leave us alone in peace. Despite all these misfortunes, natural disasters, wars, starvation, and disease, human population has been doubling for the last 2 centuries. Humans are remarkably resilient beings. In order to produce energy, you must burn something. Our ancestors in the olden days burned firewood to produce cooking fuel. The sun burns cosmic gases to produce light and heat energy we use today. The human body burns food we take in every day to produce energy for our daily life. For walking, working, sleeping, resting, etc. all require a good amount of balanced diet. When humans destroy themselves, nature will rejoice, trees will sing, the animals will dance. Man was determined to destroy us, now he's bringing destruction unto himself. Let them finish one another, let them kill each other right to the last man standing. The pain they cruelly inflicted upon us, let them do that unto themselves, then once more we will live in peace. They wanted to poison the fresh water bodies of the world, all ponds, wells, oases, rivers, and lakes. They also had another evil plan, more dangerous than the mere poisoning. They wanted to harness the destructive powers of the sun and use it to crush their enemies, those that they hated. They wanted to annihilate completely. This new weapon of theirs could destroy all of us, everything that lives would perish. Scientists are working on a killer disease, worse than anything else that has ever been seen by mankind. The ironic part is that after they have annihilated all others, will they continue to live on? Will they live on forever? They too are humans, the same fate awaits them all. They plan to reduce their number to a manageable level for the time being, as they put it. There are groups of scientists doing a great good for humanity, but there is also a whole bunch of mad scientists out there who are working hard to produce things that are going to fuel and equip multiple warfare, bring great famines and introduce many diseases. Are you still working in your laboratory trying to cure an illness? Better refrain with your world-saving experiments, because you never know how that world is going to react in the near future. Long ago people were killed by the cruelty of nature and break out of epidemics. Now future populations are going to be decimated by diseases humans created themselves in their laboratories. When you create something you can't control, how sure are you that you cannot become the victim yourself? There was a time when people used science to cure diseases, now they are using it to create plagues of unimaginable proportions. Some scientists claim that warfare is good for the health of the planet. They amass vast resources and build chemical weapons to depopulate the earth. They claim population explosion will create so much congestion, people will be flocked, huddled, together everywhere on every landmass like penguins on the edge of a steep narrow cliff. Isn't it better to cut off a few branches and twigs for the sake of the entire plant? The tree gets rid of a few leaves so as to survive the drought. I can't believe there are scientists who work hard and spend a great deal of fortune creating a plague instead of fighting the ones that already exist. It could be because they had a dispute with their neighbor for the last week, but since they could not come to terms no matter what they discussed, he struggles to find a solution. Then suddenly he gets a brilliant idea. He then secretly plans a way to attack his unrelenting neighbor by putting his scientific knowledge to practical use. When the weapon is released, all the people in the neighborhood succumb to the attack except for the fellow whom it was designed, planned, to eliminate. Suddenly a plague spreads to other neighborhoods, towns, and cities, killing and ravaging as it goes. The entire nation gets engulfed by the mysterious plague that seemed utterly ruthless. Travelers carry it to other nations with the terror and destruction that accompanies it. The innocent who had nothing to do with scientists' anger are the ones to suffer the most. To everyone's surprise, he rejoices instead of weeping for the lost. he is glad that his experiment can have an impact on humanity, no matter what the nature of that impact may be. All he cares about is the excitement of seeing the world shaken and transformed by his test tubes. Experiment 3, Intelligence versus Wisdom. Nature is smarter than science. How does a flock of seagulls find their way across the oceans without a captain or a compass? Some lowly creatures are much smarter than many scientists of the modern day who keep building machines that keep killing them. How does a bee know its hive is supposed to be a perfect hexagon? Isn't it a solid proof that bees are much smarter and more organized than we humans are? They call dishonesty smart and wickedness genius, an evil genius should they say. Anything they don't understand they say is stupid. Those professors come up with silly ideas and refer to it as intelligence and call madness philosophy. The so-called elite scientists are teaching themselves dangerous knowledge. What they don't remember is that all knowledge and skill comes from above. Any man who does magnificent things that amaze many, whether he acknowledges the giver of gifts or not, should do it with precision for the benefit of all mankind. The whole world has been deceived into worshipping a pagan god of knowledge and understanding called science. They blindly adore it and give it offerings. Everyone suddenly believes in him and frequently go to him to ask questions, to inquire of what other things are in the world that they do not know about yet. Men kneel down before him and say, "Please tell us everything you know, teach us all tricks, all knowledge and all wisdom, we too want to know everything that is there to be known," they beg endlessly. Science is like a cunning master that wittingly teaches its students mischief. When they have finished their training, some students use their newly acquired lessons to do good while others use it to do evil. Wisdom breeds virtue while intelligence harbors malice. Experiment 4, The Dino Doctor. Man thinks there is something wrong with nature and the environment and therefore makes attempts to change it in order to suit himself. What he does not know is that the problem is right within himself. His way of thinking leads them to perform damaging acts towards nature. Man treats nature as if it's an enemy. The only enemy to man is man himself. Mother Nature is simply a victim of man's attempts to enrich himself quickly and bring himself great comfort. Experiment 5, So Far So Fresh. A number of scientists, I believe, have gone too far in conducting their ill-fated experiments. It's all madness and mayhem under the disguise of technology and innovation. Despite the protests from the public, they continue with their unethical experiments, with no respect for rules of nature, life customs, and beliefs. Why does science continue to question adored ancient beliefs? People hate but also respect things they do not understand. Living forever. Soon they will be heading for human experiments. They are inventing a drug to make people live forever, never to grow old or get sick. Well, that sounds more like madness than intelligence to me. When a researcher works on a machine that he claims he is going to use to reduce aging, do we say he is a great visionary who has set forth a clear program of improving his life and those of others, or do we say he is a mad scientist who is mocking the maker by claiming he can extend the days of his living? When people say that they are planning to prolong their life, it sounds like a supernatural ambition. Better say I am taking a healthy diet so that I do not become sick. I hate being sick. Well, that sounds more acceptable to me than to say, I am working on pills that shall make humans live forever on Earth. Even if you were to manufacture drugs that are to keep you in good health and rid yourself of aging, you still cannot live forever. There are many things that kill people in this world, not just poor health. And the age unto which somebody lives is out of mere luck, nothing more but luck. No one can hang their days of living on a line like linen, to remove them at the time they choose. Experiment 6, Mad Science Projects. There are points when the curiosity of some researchers ended up improving certain bad situations earlier on. For example, herbalists, students and physicians who ventured too deep into medicine to the extent of examining of illnesses by cutting up corpses, however, were frowned upon by the society at the time. They were perceived as heretic and downright evil by the religious sect, but eventually their explorations built the foundations of modern-day medicine. A clever and brave attempt it was. Now in this modern-day society, nearly all illnesses can be cured by these alchemists. There is nothing much left to explore. So there is no other option but to continue digging deeper into the field of medicine, but then it becomes quite hard to draw the line between worthwhile experiments and mad science projects. It's easier to cast a blame upon a bunch of people, but when we look at the problem, it goes much deeper than one thinks and interlinks more aspects of the society than we have ever fathomed. A handful of scientists are not enough to blame for the endless list of problems the science community has created. The root of the problem is simply too deep. If you rebuke a scientist and ask him to stop conducting his cultic experiments, another one springs up elsewhere with more terrifying experiments. Early scientists sat behind their apparatus in their laboratories hoping they will see something great. They boiled portions and dozens of colored liquids in their apparatus over the flames. They then sit back and watch carefully, hoping some exciting creatures will jump out of those test tubes. Many scientists are difficult to work with. They continue to cling to their ideas of gathering test tubes and boiling strange-looking fluids in their secret laboratories. There is no clear line between safe experiments and ones that are utterly gross. Dead man standing, the story of electricity. I heard stories where scientists made dead bodies move as an experiment. They passed electric currents through the dead bodies of frogs, which made them dance by twitching their arms and legs, a perfect entertainment for the crowd sitting on the benches. One literary wanted to electrify a corpse, to make it rise from the table on the podium, to carefully descend the steps before falling at the audience's feet, that if successfully took place it would be a great triumph for this so-called culture of reason, but for the audience watching down below, their faces would have been covered with great horror, not to mention others who were flying out through the windows from shock. A commoner cannot bear the thought of seeing a dead body come back to life by the spell of an alchemist, and more astonishingly to bestow them walking straight towards them. Let the living stay alive and the dead remain dead. Don't make a living person act like a corpse while you try to bring the dead back to life. Some scientists are doing disgusting things, such as trying to bring the dead back to life, to turn ancient bones into living fossils. Some scientists are doing disgusting things such as trying to bring the dead back to life, to turn ancient bones into living fossils. In the Middle Ages, researchers and lab technicians were perceived as sorcerers by the public. Imagine yourself being an uneducated peasant, then you enter a room where you find a person dressed in overall and wearing gloves. These protections were probably not there at the time anyway. Then you find them surrounded by countless number of strangely shaped bottles which contained oddly colored liquids arranged in a particular order, steam probably emanating from some of them. It would definitely be a puzzling sight to experience. Dangerous knowledge. I remember that old saying which says, education makes the wise become wiser and the foolish become even more foolish. When you are to look at other people's behavior and compare it to those who never went to school, then you see no difference at all. It is as if the kind of education they had received did not help them in any way. Wasn't school supposed to teach them these virtues? In fact, it is more of a grave danger than a healthy ordeal. Others, however, have taken their learning seriously and put their knowledge to good use, and have done many so-called good things with it, some average, others marvelous beyond imagination. But for others who never really needed such knowledge in the first place, it is a saddening tale. It's like giving a child a knife and asking them to cut vegetables. Such a knowledge is dangerous for them. Just for now. Experiment 7, Creatures of Mixed Blood. There is a scientist I heard of in my neighborhood by the name Arnold Sterrell. He gathers animals and small creatures in pairs, creatures from all parts of the animal kingdom. He gathers them together in his laboratory. When he has everything he needs, he closes the door right behind him so that no one who passes near the entrance would see what he is doing. He defiles them one after another before releasing them back to the wild, saying this to them: "Go forth and multiply in the woods, I have sown my seed in thee." When I peered into a secret part of his compound, I saw animals I have never seen before, because they do not exist anywhere in nature, nor history, nor folklore. I couldn't find any names for them. There was a creature trotting by. It had the body of a horse and the head of an eagle. Another looked like a pig but had six legs and long ears like that of a rabbit. Then I saw a dragonfly the size of a hen and had feathers with the wings of a kite. There were dogs that had two heads. There were ants and cockroaches that were the size of a cow. When you look at the creatures that the scientist had created, they were a perfect replica of the beasts of the Hades. The world of men cannot tolerate the presence of such creatures, so he hides them. They can be accepted in another realm but not in this one we live in. Sooner or later his evil experiments shall be found out, and his laboratory will be forced to shut down or worse case be torched down to ashes. No person can tolerate the sight of another human tampering with life as he please, as if he were a creator himself. An entire generation of crooked scientists has come of age, the donkey's years of evil science have just begun. They hope that creating living things in their laboratories might someday make them be like the Almighty. Who said you should crossbreed a goat with a sheep? Shepherds separates them, keep them in different pens and herd them separately, while you mad scientists come to mix their blood and perform cultic practices with their flesh. Who said you can interbreed an elephant with a giraffe and a lion with a hyena? Let the bear remain a bear and the wolf remain a wolf. Never ever should you ever try to mix their blood. Let a pumpkin remain a pumpkin and an eggplant remain an eggplant. It would have been better if the so-called good-intentioned scientists never made those discoveries in the first place. If they can successfully create living creatures from their laboratories, then it would make people sacrilegious. Life itself will lose its meaning, as people will no longer have reverence for holy things, nor try to uphold virtue nor give any love to their fellow humans. A mad rush to the laboratories begin as everyone will also want to be a creator, build their own creatures according to their own desires to use in whatever manner they wish. These creatures which were once perfect have now become unsanctified because of their misdirected experiments. It is high time rogue scientists should stop mixing blood of creatures absolutely different from one another. Foul beasts of unidentifiable forms come out of their laboratories. They appear as if they rose from the Hades itself, and were out to infect the offsprings of humans. Your intellect, as you had foolishly thought would bring you great glory, has brought you great shame instead. People shrieked and cringed and were greatly horrified at the things you produced, and they wish you had never entered your disgusting laboratories in the first place. Man makes man. Because those scientists are playing the maker, someday they might drive themselves into madness trying to imitate the works of the divine. Maybe this is the reason why man was not allowed to live forever, so as to reduce the extent of his treachery. The desires of his heart are so big as the universe itself. So the Maker saith unto his servants, Man is trying to make himself look smart, so I will go down there and slash the days of his living tenfold, so that he can stop his mad ambitions, for they have turned away from vague truth and sing the songs of the heathen. Imagine if mad scientists could live to see 150 years, or say 250, that's a quarter a century, what level of contamination could they have done? That's why man's days were cut short. Because his wicked experiments on animals were ever growing too cruel. Science has always been a good friend of ours, it has helped us improve our way of living, reduce the effects of natural disasters and solved many problems we could not have done on our own. But when it begins to touch things that are sacred to life, itself, then it is no longer the wonderful old friend we shared a home with, but a snake in the grass. When it tampers with the order of life, and jumble living things into disarray, we need to distance ourselves as far away as possible from it. I have a feeling that it's my duty to warn my brother from secretly performing heinous experiments at the back of our garage. It will be upon him if he listen or put any of what I say into practice. Man is so foolish that he tries to create another human to serve him. No scientist is crazier than the one who tries to create another human, no experiment is more evil than the one that tampers with life. As the old saying remains intact, no human can create another human. They still refuse to admit this vague truth, but stubbornly proceed with their mad projects hoping they will turn up successful. I can't wait to see that happen, an age when man makes man, then many more copies of himself and commands them to serve him. Experiment 8, Bubble Membrane. It's hard to draw the line between how much should be allowed and how far is too far. Things can easily become messy. They claim they are doing all these experiments just for the sake of looking for a way to treat an illness, but in the process of finding that cure they unintentionally unraveled a chain of more lethal illnesses never heard of before. How much is too much? How many experiments of these should be conducted on an annual basis? If you have discovered something very fascinating about nature, environment, or the human body, how certain should you be that these people you teach your results have good intentions just as you were from the beginning? How sure are you that all of them perceive things just the same way you do? Scientists are not that evil as we may like to think of them, it's science itself that can turn evil. Science has the ability to answer many questions, but to a certain limit, it solves one problem here while it creates another elsewhere. Science has gone too far and there is no sign of it stopping anytime soon. Merchants in the middle. Merchants are caught in the net, they are then blamed for the negative happenings of the world while the scientists who came up with those ideas in the first place are left out. They had been deceived into wasting vast fortunes on what appeared to be a revolutionary product, now there is no turning back, all efforts seem utterly wasted. We may be quick to cast blame upon those who profit from their experiments, but the real problem is science itself, this so-called enlightenment of our modern times. They are caught unaware since they were deceived into putting great amounts of their fortune into these evil science projects, they find themselves attacked from every side by all members of the public, the people ask the tycoons, are you going to allow those monsters they have created to get out of their laboratories and roam freely on our streets, simply because you have a great deal of fortune at stake? Should they turn out to be ravenous beasts, they will eat everyone and everything that walks, including those scientists that created them. Please reconsider your decisions before you make any further move. It's not the scientists that are malicious, but science itself that can utterly turn evil. When those researchers are wasting away their hours in the laboratories, they actually think, I mean believe, that they are working on a project that is going to do a great deal of good to humanity. It will solve all the problems of the world we currently face and bring us unimaginable wealth, and when they are creating those monsters they actually think they are making beautiful lambs, and birds of paradise. It's only after projects are complete and the creature is alive and kicking do they realize what they have done. When it's too late. Experiment 9, Intellectual Freedom. Once there was a little boy with a brilliant idea. At the back of their farm, rats were a serious problem, so he invented a way in which they can be eliminated completely, so he invents a spray tank that injects a cloud of toxic fumes into their holes, the rats died instantly and those that survived were rendered infertile, they were completely sterilized. His secret concoction he mixed at the garage. After a year had passed, a mighty and cruel tyrant heard about this powerful concoction. He sent a secret squad to capture the boy and forced him to show him how to mix it. He had better ideas for it. A decade later he used it to attack villages and towns of his old enemies, many civilians died, as many as 10,000 were losing their lives every night. The boy went into his garage and wept bitterly, "What is this terrible thing I have done? Look now that my invention is causing the death of thousands of innocent people per day, oh God forgive me for..." But his parents interrupted him saying, "The hard hearts of men drive them to do such horrible things. If you had never invented that gas tank, then they probably would have used something else. They use anything they find for their ill deeds, so do not blame yourself. You saved us from a great problem of rats already. You go out there, work your best to do what you think would be a great gift to humanity, then it unfortunately turns into something else unexpected. Anything in this world can be misused, it depends on the person using it. A kitchen knife used to cut vegetables on the table is sometimes used to stab innocent children by some rogue villains. Electricity meant to bring light to the darkness of the night is sometimes used to electrocute others. It depends with whoever is using it and whatever purpose they want it for. A young thinker works hard to make an idea turn into a reality, an invention he believes will bring a great benefit to humanity. But then he remembers that humanity is divided into factions that disagree on every issue and fiercely fight one another. For everything that he invents there are those who use it for good while there are those who use it for evil. The worn-out apparatus he threw out of the window has suddenly caused a fight in the streets. He tossed an old equipment from his shop window to a busy street. A passerby happened to step on it and picked it. Upon observing it carefully, it looked interesting, so decided to take it home as a souvenir. Another fellow who was standing by tried to snatch it from his hands, saying that he's the one who saw it first. This eventually led to a bitter struggle that attracted a great crowd. When the fellow saw this from his office window, he rushed out to check the scenario and was shocked to find out that unwanted objects from his lab created so much havoc outside. He tried to stop the fight by claiming that he was the real owner of that particular staff when he suddenly heard yelling from the crowd saying, here is another thief claiming to own the souvenir, let's clump him over. The fellow too gets easily dragged into the fight and receives heavy blows, even after proving to others that he's the one who built it. All refused to believe it, saying he speaks like a con man. It was a few more minutes later on when the street security arrived that the commotion came to a halt. The alchemists say, we are not evil, all our projects are planned with good intentions. After we are done with our beautiful projects, some evil king suddenly rides into our testing grounds with their royal chariots and rob us of our projects, which they then go to use to vanquish their enemies elsewhere. We are not evil, it's the people that steal our precious ideas to use for their wicked plans are the ones you should refer to as evil, not us, they insist. No mad science projects, no mad science projects today please. Experiment 10, the intellect of the Greeks. Ancient Greek philosophers, I believe, were mostly a bunch of silly old men, troubled by the hardships and responsibilities of life, weighed down by old age. They sought to find comfort in their thinking and came up with reasoning that nearly drove the world into madness. I have never regarded them so highly. I wonder why the people of today praise them so much, even after they are long dead and gone. Their reasoning mostly is a common sense. Any madman can think up that trash too. Each person has their own view of life, no two are the same. Of all their texts I have come across, I have never found any that became of valuable use to me, something that could have added a little value to my life, with the exception of those historical recordings, which of course are a great treasure, but their intellectual reasoning, I have found none that has been of real value to me. Greek philosophers worked very hard to convert the whole world into their way of thinking. How much portion of the earth did they succeed in sowing their seeds of lunacy in the minds of the people? Experiment 11, the rise of evil scientists. Those medics that secretly did disgusting experiments to our wives when we were away, as a result they lost their babies and almost their own lives, what glory is there in performing cultic acts on others? They have become very proficient in performing acts of the heathen, vile things that are shocking beyond belief. If only I knew what your intentions were, I would not have let you into my house, I would not have let you touch my beauty queen with your filthy hands. Now you have left her with excruciating pain, and endless suffering, yet you take no responsibility for your actions. Don't you have ethics in your lab? At least have a limit to the level of your experiments. Evil scientists are on the prowl. For every 10 brilliant scientists that make a remarkable achievement, one among them eventually turns evil. The more freedom, approval, and cheers that is given to them, the more daring they become in their experiments. Their motives grow bolder with each successful experiment. Most of the problems associated with science begin in these so-called highly developed nations, in cities that are filled with high-tech gadgets and people with lofty social statuses before spreading to other parts of the world. While those labeled as primitive societies often live in harmony with their environment, they are friendly to their surroundings. They say we are smart, we have the best tech, and we have 1,000 geniuses among us. We may be quick to cast blame on merchants who have profited from their experiments, but the true source of the problem is much deeper. It is science itself. This so-called source of enlightenment and age of reason drive some of the once cautious researchers into wild fanatics. Others learn to control it, but there are those who fall slave to its luring power. Each person is eager to try something new. Some of those evil scientists were once bright students in schools who were showered with praise day in day out. They were continually reminded of how brilliant they were and the greatness that awaits them. They were spoiled more than all other students. Better are students who are dumb and bring grief to their teachers and parents due to their poor academic performance but are careful not to handle dangerous things, than students who were once bright and in schools and in their pride stubbornly embark on experiments that may bring the world to a premature end. For one to be classified as an evil or dangerous scientist to the society, you must have lots of cash in your bank account to fund your projects. You are driven by this mad desire to acquire some forbidden knowledge or skill. They are not driven by not lack of faith in the holy things but rather fear of the Almighty. When you mention words such as God, it terrifies them so much, they run and hide themselves behind their lab tables saying, please do not utter such words anymore, your voice will make my apparatus shatter. Early scientists were religious and did scientific experiments only in their spare time, but of modern-day scientists many are either heathen or adore science itself as a god. When I see them create those horrible creatures on a daily basis and there is no one there to stop them, it hurts me a lot. I wish I carried a lightning rod with me as I walk past their laboratories, then strike them with a flash of fury, to hit them hard till they lose their minds completely. It's only then will they stop conducting their disgusting experiments. Their work shall hopefully come to a halt. They prove how silly science can be. Experiment 12, Combo Meal. A scientist once said to his family, "Don't we like rice, pasta, wheat, some pumpkins, and lots of cello beans? Instead of buying all these from different markets, it would have been better if we combine all of them to become just one plant. They are all grasses, by the way, they are all members of the same family." So he moves ahead with his pre-planned projects, plucks a pair of seeds from each plant and went into his laboratory where he stayed for 3 days. When he came out, he had a hole. New variety of food crops planted behind his garden. He had unfortunately created crop diseases which quickly spread to all the other crops in the greenhouse. The disease caused all the other plants to wilt. It quickly spread to other farms, fields and gardens far away. It was too late. Nothing could have been done to salvage this situation. Experiment 13, Lab Farm. Scientifically enhanced foods are a threat to the society. When I first heard about food being tampered with, I stopped going to the grocery stores at once, and all my perceptions about food on the shelves was changed forever. I began to dread food on the menus. The panic is so great, that if people hear that some scientist had showed up to buy food at their favorite grocery store, they simply stop buying food from there. I will therefore have to grow my own food in my own backyard. In fact, there's lots of space in my backyard. They are certainly not going to come and force their stale apples into my mouth. How do you feel about eating food that is manufactured by another human being, who is just prone to error as you are? Be it plant or animal flesh, it's an instant ego killer. Dining will no longer be the same. Meal times are no longer the moments you get to enjoy your favorite meal. Every family member starts to become suspicious of every food you bring to the table. Before you were called the breadwinner, now they call you the potion maker, for they must test everything on the table first before putting it into their mouths, as it may contain lethal poisons. Some folks argue that if there is food at the grocery stores that is repulsive to you, why don't you simply grow your own food and continue with your life? Well, to be frank, it's not quite that easy with this highly industrialized and modern lifestyles of ours. When profit is factored in, it becomes a serious problem. If a farmer grows food for his/her own local consumption, he won't put dangerous chemicals on it, but since it's for the masses, who cares? There are very few chances that food grown from his farm will get back to his dining table in some form one day. If farmers were to grow food for only local consumption, they won't have to use fertilizers or herbicide. If I am cash-strapped and urgently need to do something to improve performance of a business, then I am forced to put small doses of poison into it in order to sell more produce, then I should be more than glad to do so. I would never swallow anything that has been tampered with by the filthy hands of some mad scientists. Doing such a thing would be like signing your own death sentence. It's like swallowing poison, then while you lay down to rest, you watch your tummy slowly grow in size. It bulges outward and bursts like a balloon. A medic injects a tomato with some caterpillar fluid. It swells, grows larger than average size. It killed all the tiny little bugs that tried to attack it. As it looked yummy and tasty, a kid runs around the garden, picks it up, has a munch, but his teeth fall off. I will never touch any food prepared in the lab, poisoned by the filthy hands of the technicians, by this group of scientists who call themselves the Grey Eagles. They are driving themselves and the whole world into madness. They are the ones that are 100% responsible for this. How can I trust food touched by a mad scientist's ink? He calls me an ignorant and empty-headed ranger from a wild countryside while he calls himself the super-intelligent elite. He thought he was making medicine to cure the nations of the world while he unknowingly prepared a poison that wiped out nearly everyone. All humanity suffered from his ill experiments. Everyone, including members of his own family, were wiped out. None is spared. He sprayed his neighbor's compound with rednecom, hoping to get rid of them quickly. Unfortunately, his favorite child happened to like the neighbor's kids. She ran over the following morning and rolled herself over the grass. Within an instant her skin began to itch. She scratched and scratched until her skin bled, and ran back over to her daddy, and fell into his arms, her skin now full of pimples. "Daddy, daddy, the grass in Emily's home is full of bugs. They bite me everywhere. Even now they are biting me," were the last words the child spoke. To be honest, which one of us acted more foolishly? I say this to that mad scientist who sits behind a crooked microscope in a dark room. "He was once my friend. Do not think that your lab is secure, far away from the negative impacts of your experiments. You too shall feel the pain. If my family and I perishes, so will yours. Whatever my children eat is what your children will eat also. You secretly sterilized others while you yourself have fathered more than 100 sons and daughters. You think that you are doing it to others, but you are doing it to yourself." I say to that guy in a white coat, "Leave that messy laboratory of yours and find a worthy career." What puzzles me most is, how did science get into our foodstuffs? Long ago they used to do those experiments in a faraway countryside on things that do not concern basic human needs. Now it's so shocking that it has come so close to our homesteads. I can't imagine myself eating food manufactured in the lab by humans, contaminated by their lethal chemicals. All things created by the hands of man are prone to decay and corruption. He can never create anything perfect. Large-scale industrialization of farming and standardization of food distribution and consumption is a contributing factor. If something good comes out of it, it benefits all, but if something wicked comes out of it, all are affected. These are the pros and cons of centralized production. Though the benefits of food standardization outweigh the demerits, it still has noticeable downsides that need to be taken seriously into account. The dark side of food standardization has now come to light. You might think you are eating a perch when you are actually munching the flesh of a hammerhead shark. You might be munching a crab's pincers while you think you are eating lobsters and prawns. So much deception can be made in food servings. Experiment 14, a brazen bug that rocked the world. First and foremost, you should always check the WHO's website in order to stay updated with the most recent news concerning the current pandemic. The World Health Organization is the most authoritative site on the web to get information from. No matter where in the world you are currently residing, local government data releases through health ministries are a reliable source. Otherwise, everything else on the web should be taken with a grain of salt. Please take extra precautions and stay safe. Now let us get back to what brought us here. A 21st century shockwave. No medical tragedy in this 21st century that had hit the world so hard and so fast, to the point where all healthcare systems across the globe became instantly overwhelmed, including those of highly developed and wealthy nations. Nothing like this had ever showed its face on the horizon once before. It struck like lightning with full fury, leaving behind many casualties in its wake. It has been a while now, approximately 2.5 years, since the first shock wave hit humanity and sent the world into turmoil. As we speak now in July 2022, according to WHO statistics, the total number of casualties stands at over 6.5 million. That's more than the entire populations of many countries of the world. But nevertheless, we have continued to overcome. Humans are resilient creatures who have survived many centuries and millennia of epidemics. Outbreaks of deadly diseases are not something new to the human race. Once again, I send my condolences to those that have lost loved ones to the pandemic, me included. I have lost a handful of relatives to the disease. Very nice and cheerful people gone from my life just like that. The virus has sent us a clear message that it is here to stay, so if you have not received the jab yet and in a position to do so, you should get it as soon as possible. Trust me, it's a lifesaver. Since we got all of my family members jabbed, I haven't lost a single relative. So please stop listening to folks spreading false information on the web about the dangers of getting the jab. Stay away from COVID conspiracy theorists. I hope that the rich countries who are producing the vaccines should have a good heart to help those in developing countries who can't afford the vaccines to get them at little to no cost. I know this may bankrupt their great pharmaceutical companies, but they should find a way to donate hundreds of millions of doses, if not billions. Global cooperation, irrespective of countries' levels of economic development, is the key to winning the war against this monster. We have heard the news stories of some developing countries, like in Africa, having to destroy hundreds of thousands of doses that they had received as donations from rich countries, because they later discovered that those jabs were only a few weeks into their expiration date and therefore couldn't get them into people's arms quickly enough before they went bad. We kindly ask rich countries not to donate to developing countries vaccines that are about to expire in a few days. What we need in the world today is kindness and the love of humanity. Those who have the financial capacity should offer a helping hand to those that are struggling through these tough times. It may be a tough battle, but not impossible to win. Please stay away from conspiracy theorists. There are countless number of conspiracy theories flying around the World Wide Web. I urge every web user to guard their hearts and minds from ideas that may corrupt their thoughts or harden their hearts towards healthcare institutions. Please take everything with a grain of salt. Do your own proper research first before you fall for the ideology of conspiracy theorists. Of all the conspiracy theories that are flying around the airwaves concerning the origins and purpose of COVID-19, there are three that stand out above all the others, lingering in the minds of the people. Word is moving from left to right, people are talking everywhere, they are agitated, they look very concerned. The lack of information in the public domain itself has further fueled these conspiracies. Why is the media hiding information from us? People ask one another. The actions of the governments have also made their contributions to an extent. Because when someone comes to the public to give their explanations of what they think went wrong, the governments and the mainstream media are quick to shut them up, and threaten to lock them up if they dare continue talking to anybody about the virus. This leads people to conclude that their governments, as well as the mainstream media, are also part of the conspiracy. What happened to free speech? What happened to universal freedoms of expression and assembly? They ask themselves. Why are people not allowed to share information among themselves just like they used to do for generations? People may differ in opinions and say a lot of strange things, but that's what makes our societies democratic. Collective leadership and a wide range of suggestions is what makes our societies free and fair to all. The governments of the world have a single mouthpiece that consists of a group of scientists and so-called experts that deliver information to the public, and once they have given their recommendations, their decisions are often final. No one else is allowed to refute, counter-argue, or make any kind of suggestions. Anything that does not come from the state-approved so-called experts is branded as extremely dangerous misinformation and immediately gets censored. People all over democratic countries are continuing to believe that the line between democracy and totalitarianism is blurring. All these are the circumstances that have led people to believe more and more in conspiracy theories. They fill in the information gap that is left behind by the state authorities and the mainstream media. People are thirsty for information. I mean, they are really thirsty to learn as much as they can about this pandemic that has affected the world so much, as well as turn their lives upside down. Out there on the World Wide Web, there is an abundance of information about practically anything. There is plenty of information about even the most useless of things. The nitty-gritty details are on any object, thing, thoughts, ideas. How come there is so little information out there concerning one of the greatest catastrophes that has befallen humanity? The little information that is out there is greatly censored. The actions of the ruling class speak for themselves. People have no reason to believe otherwise. A bioweapons program. Many people believe the pandemic was part of a bioweapons program that unfortunately had a twist of fate. With the increasing hostilities between the world's superpowers, there is likelihood that each of the world's richest and powerful nations is building its own stockpile of bioweapons, to use it at desperate times, the only drawback being that we live in a very fluid, interconnected world where people move from one part of a continent to another continent at a lightning speed. The malicious action of dropping a germ bomb in a city or nation may devastate the population of that state for a short while, but will soon move on to the other states and then engulf the entire globe in just a matter of months, just as COVID-19 has shown us. COVID-19 has shown to the world's rich and powerful nations that building bioweapons is not a very smart idea. At the moment, there is no evidence of a bioweapons program that unfortunately turned into an accident, although the world's two richest and strongest nations are accusing one another of creating the virus, with the intention of using it against the other. Based on what is out there in the mainstream media, the USA is accusing China of creating the virus to use it in an attack against the almighty and all prosperous America. Some Americans are saying that China has a world dominion plan, to replace the United States as the most influential nation on earth, to become the boss of bosses and master of masters in every aspect of the nation, be it in geopolitics, military, technology, and industry, trade, social welfare. I mean everything. Although that can't be clearly proven whether China has such plans of replacing the US as number one. The Wuhan incident is a tragedy some of the US officials have called as a disaster waiting to happen, that the Wuhan lab was just a small part of China's greater bioweapons program to use against other countries whom they regard as enemies, including the USA. A small accident with such enormous impacts. China, on the other hand, points fingers at the USA, blaming it for the tragedy. They say that it's the United States that has such ill motives of destroying China and the world. They are envious of our economic progress and want to continue pinning us down in whatever means they can find at their disposal, says the Chinese. The very fact that Americans partially funded the research at Wuhan proves their ill motives. Why would a powerful government start funding scientific research in a foreign country and then, few years down the line, enormous disasters rocks those laboratories? The Chinese claim they were unaware of the existence of such deadly viruses within their borders. Had our authorities been aware from the start, things would have been different, they say, and also that story you heard from the beginning of the pandemic that it leaked from a wet food market is nothing but fabrications of the Americans to deflect blame on us. We Chinese have been eating wild animals for thousands of years. Had there been deadly viruses in those wild animals, then we, the Han nation, would have been wiped out a long time ago. This virus does not exist anywhere in nature. It was created in a lab based on Chinese soil, but the scientists working there were not really Chinese, they were foreign agents who had ulterior motives. They kept the government in Beijing in the dark of what they were doing behind closed doors. They gave false promises to Beijing that they were working on something good for humanity, while secretly working on ways to destroy the Chinese people. Had the Chinese government known such deadly viruses were being harbored in their territory, they would have quickly shut down the labs. The Chinese say, "We are a nation on the rise to prosperity. We are full of hope and vigor to help our people as well as those in developing nations better improve their lives. The economic growth of other countries has also helped us grow. Why would we create a virus then infect our own people with it? This is absurd," says the Chinese. The US is very envious of our success story and is therefore working very hard to derail it. They pull up old statements from the then President Obama where he spoke about US readiness for future pandemics. Obama was only talking about preventing the world from getting another episode the likes of Ebola, but this video was removed out of context because the video was cropped to focus only on the part where he spoke about the preparedness for future distastes, leaving out the Ebola part. The Chinese then claimed that it was solid proof that he had an advanced knowledge of the virus. The Chinese say, "We have no reason to destroy the world of which we are increasingly becoming more dependent on." B. Population control. A lot of people believe that COVID-19 was created as a tool to control the world's population that fell short of performance. There are sadists who think that the current global population is way too high and needs to be taken down to a bare minimum, if we are to continue enjoying the resources of this tiny planet. The strange thing is that it is the richest people who are using the most resources and still think there are too many people on the planet. Current data shows that about 20% of the world's population use about 80% of the world's resources. In poor countries, nearly everybody uses public transport, therefore reducing the carbon emissions per head, but in rich countries, in the likes of those in North America, everybody owns a car. Every adult drives a dirty diesel or gasoline vehicle hundreds of miles per day. Rich people, even if they have fewer children, they produce more harmful emissions per person on average. It's sad when you hear filthy rich folks blaming the poor for the troubles of the planet. They ask them to have fewer children, while they have hypocritically amassed a vast majority of the world's resources for themselves. Of all the people blamed for trying to reduce the global population unethically, no other name comes up more often than that of Bill Gates. To be honest with you, I have very high regards for this man. He has achieved marvelous success throughout his career and has done a lot of good to humanity through his charities for a very long time now. Many of us here were not yet born when he started his world-changing company back in the 70s. In my personal opinion, Mr. Gates is an amazing gentleman who had sacrificed so much for the sake of humanity. There are very few billionaires in the world who are willing to put their own money into helping others who are not so fortunate as themselves. Many like keeping everything for themselves, but Mr. Gates, on the other hand, has gone out of the way to donate a vast majority of his wealth to charities all across the world. This should be testament to the people of the world of how gentle and loving this philanthropist's heart is. I believe the people out there saying terrible things about him are envious of his impeccable career. They are full of envy and won't admit to it. For those folks who are full of jealousy against Mr. Gates, they should leave him alone and focus on rich people out there who are yet to donate a dime to help those less fortunate. There are many rich people out there, millionaires and billionaires, who are not helping anyone. Why are you not talking about them instead? Mr. Gates is currently too in the process of eradicating river blindness, a tropical disease that is spread by flies and has been affecting the lives of millions of people for centuries in developing countries. Mr. Gates has always been on the front line in combating malaria, polio, tuberculosis, HIV, smallpox, cholera, pneumonia, rabies, Ebola, Marburg, dengue, yellow fever, anthrax, tetanus, meningitis, leprosy, measles, Zika, whooping cough, and many more communicable diseases. Thanks to Mr. Gates' foundation, millions of African children were saved from meeting an untimely end as a result of malaria infection. He is doing all that with his hard-earned cash from his own pocket. Had other rich people of the world supported him as his projects, then he would have succeeded in eradicated all these illnesses that continue to bring misery to all humanity. But where are the other millionaires and billionaires of the world? Why attack sometime that is the only person willing to do something about improving the livelihoods of others? All the ugly talk about this amazing gentleman is nothing but envy at its worst form. It's a sad thing to know that some people strongly believe that he is part of a conspiracy to reduce the world's population through scientific methods. The speech he gave several years ago before the word corona became a household name leads many to believe he had an advanced knowledge of the pandemic, that he had something to do with it as well. They think he is part of a worldwide depopulation syndicate. People also look at his lifelong polio vaccine program and try to connect it with the current mandatory vaccines being rolled out across the world nowadays. You hear people say, Bill Gates has spent many years of his life campaigning for vaccines, now everyone is being forced to take a jab. And there is a new phrase on the streets called vaccines passports, of which you can't live a normal life without it. It's all crystal clear now, everything makes sense, it all adds up, they say. Some people are also spreading conspiracies that the vaccines themselves are the lethal weapon. To them it looks like the virus was sent ahead to kill as many people as it could, then those that survive the virus will get finished off by the vaccine that comes after it. The virus is like the shelling and airstrikes of the front lines, then the jabs are like the ground troops you send in after the bombings to finish the job left by the air raids. The pandemic has brought about a real-life war zone. These conspiracy theorists argue that you may be feeling nothing initially after taking the jab, but over time the lethal concoction of toxins inside the vaccine will kill you slowly. It may take weeks, months, or even years, but will eventually kill you. If you tell them that the vaccines are totally safe, they reply, "Have you been to the labs where the jabs are manufactured? Do you really know the specific ingredients they put into them? When you go to a pharmacy to buy a drug, there is this piece of paper inside the sachet where they list all the information you need to know about the drug, things like place of manufacture, the active ingredients, potential side effects and so on. We have no such info about the shots we are currently getting, but then you say, well, that is a trade secret, companies cannot reveal them because of patent laws, then they reply, yes, a secret, that is where the problem lies. Why should there be secrets for diseases that have devastated the world so much? Shouldn't it be at least public knowledge? If they were really willing to help, cures should be freely available in the public domain by now. The conspiracy theorists preach to anyone they can reach that the vaccines are a slow poison, saying they will kill you slowly but surely. The conspiracies have led to creation of large anti-vax groups who would try to avoid the vaccines at all cost. Conspiracies range from causing people to become sterile, causing madness, causing degeneration of the organs, reducing heartbeat and increasing risks of heart attack, causing blood clots and internal hemorrhages, damage to the eyesight, heart disease, liver disease, causing cancers of all kinds. Currently, the only proven conspiracy theory is that of blood clots and extreme bodily reactions to those who have allergies. This doesn't sound good to a lot of people. So for the conspirators, conspiracy theorists, the vaccine itself is a WMD, weapon of mass depopulation. You listen to people talking in the streets saying, "I'm hearing that some governments are offering people cash incentives to get a jab. Why is this happening? This sounds like some kind of bribery, people are being bribed to put their lives on the line. Getting paid a few $100 in order to put into your body something that is potentially life-threatening doesn't sound good to me. I am really finding it harder to come across uncensored COVID content online these days. Looking at the data available, those that succumb as a result of taking the jab is a very small number, it is less than 1% of the population. The only trouble being that everyone is saying they don't want to be part of that small number. Nobody wants to be part of the unfortunate statistics. So far, nobody has proven whether Bill Gates or any other tycoon has anything to do with the pandemic. See, Big Pharma's desires for big profits. In the public discussions, the issue that kept coming up over and over again was the speed at which the vaccines were created. This is another issue that has led the conspiracy theorist to get another edge. We know that finding a vaccine was a very slow, painful, tedious work. It usually takes a very long time before a new drug is found. And after it's discovered, it takes years going through clinical trials before it could be approved for public use. Sometimes billions of dollars are put into a drug research project that leads to many years of excruciating research and still nothing getting found in the end. To be frank, a huge chunk of the drugs we are using today were found by accident. So discovering new drugs is partly hard work and partly luck. The speed at which the vaccine for COVID-19 was found shocked everyone. Corona is a very relatively new illness with very little known about it, while on the flip side there are deadly viruses that have been plaguing humanity for many decades and centuries. A lot of money and time have been put into the research for cure of all those illnesses, yet no significant progress has ever been made. School curriculums have even been modified as part of an awareness creation programs, to teach the young people how to avoid those diseases. A lot of the current generation grew up with the knowledge that there are certain viral diseases that have no treatment or cures whatsoever, so they decide to be rather safe than sorry. Prevention is better than cure. That's what is being taught in schools. So conspiracy theorists are arguing that since no vaccine had been found for those diseases that claim the lives of millions of people every year, even when zillions of dollars have been invested with years of research, how come a vaccine for a relatively new disease came out in just a few months? It leads people to have any of these conclusions. 1. The vaccine research and development project was rushed, and since it was produced hurriedly, it is either defective, unable to perform the job effectively, or loaded with hidden toxins, or the whole thing could simply be a sham. There are people who think that people are being injected with a drop of salt water, since there is no way to prove that the miraculous ingredients are present in the syringe. 2. If the vaccine is truly a complete and fully functioning drug as they say, then there is likelihood that the big pharmaceutical companies had been developing it many years in advance alongside the disease itself. And once the disease has ravaged the globe, they will be in an opportunistic position to sell their drugs. Conspiracy theorists are arguing that to sell a medicine you must first have the disease, and if doesn't exist in the community already, you can as well create it. How would antivirus software companies around the world survive if there were no computer viruses and other malware ravaging the World Wide Web? The disease and the cure go hand in hand. So to the theorists, the current pandemic is like a premeditated crime. Big pharmaceutical companies had been developing the virus as well as the vaccines, they had envisioned that when the world is on its knees begging for a cure, they would go ahead to sell them their ready-made vaccines at the cost of an arm and a leg for a single dose. They never envisioned that many countries would develop their own versions with the use of state resources, therefore reducing their profits or completely cutting them off from the lucrative deals. Some pharmaceutical companies had been blamed for being responsible for the opioid epidemic some years back. Some people still have very fresh memories of how opioids took away their loved ones. All because they placed their trust in a physician who had sold his dignity to Big Pharma. Many people don't trust pharmaceutical companies based on some negative experiences that they themselves or their friends and family went through. The theorists say, "Can't you see Big Pharma is now raking in cash from the vaccines? We are not surprised to see some people tossing champagne celebrating revenues while millions of people across the world are going through pain and suffering. It was all premeditated. We tried to warn you but you never took your time to listen," they preach. Dr. Anthony Fauci is probably the greatest virologist in the world, with many decades of experience. He is probably more well-informed about viruses than any other doctor in the world. He has written many medical books as well. He has helped his home country, the US, as well as a huge chunk of the world fight many deadly diseases. He has helped many medical institutions and governments to deal with epidemics of epic proportions. His medical expertise has done a lot of good for humanity, because this is a man that has dedicated his whole life to helping others. However, there are theorists who think that this doctor is a supervillain, that he is part of a Big Pharma conspiracy that planned the creation and release of the virus so that Big Pharma can make trillions from selling the cure to the world. Some say that he and other rogue doctors have taken money from Big Pharma to help them execute their plans. None of these allegations have been proven yet. It's nothing but just wind, and Dr. Anthony Fauci still remains a hero to millions of people around the world. D. Religious dogma. I don't know if I should call this a conspiracy theory or just another trend. In the wake of the first wave of the pandemic, religious groups have come out into the open claiming that the virus is an angel of death sent by the Almighty as a punishment for humanity's sins. They preach that man's transgressions have risen up so high up into the heavens it has forced the Almighty to take action. These so-called prophets have increased following as a result of these so-called prophecies of theirs. They are attracting millions upon millions of followers on social media. While there is nothing wrong with calling for prayers and repentance, these have been part and parcel of man's religious journey all over the years, it's nothing new, but prophesying on something that is already happening is a bit strange. Why do they come out into the public saying that they saw this epidemic engulfing the globe long before it happened? Shouldn't they have warned the world long ago before it showed up? Then after those things take place, people would know that they were truly prophets of God. Prophesying over things that are already happening isn't that professional. Every other kid in the neighborhood can do that as well, so what makes you different? I would kindly like to ask those so-called prophets, please ask your Lord to give you information about when the pandemic will end and whether there are other epidemics along the way that are heading towards us. If there are other tragedies that are about to happen to us, then please let us know about them in advance so that when they actually happen we will know that you were truly a servant of the Lord. Some ministers have unfortunately misled their followers into doing things that were significant to their personal safety. They asked their congregations to ignore safety precautionary measures, avoid the life-saving vaccines, and instead came to their churches for prayers and divine protection from the Almighty. Many followers who heeded their advice ended up contracting the COVID virus and sadly succumbing to the disease. All the hours of church attendance and prayers did not save them from the virus. Some of those pastors who denied the existence of the virus or called the disease a walk of the devil, decided to wear masks, refused to take jabs, ended up dying. Yes, it's true, it's sad that some pastors lost their lives after ignoring everything that was happening around them. It was a good thing that governments around the world banned all kinds of gatherings, including religious ones. Had they not acted quickly enough, then the currently casualty rates might have been 10 or 100-fold. We all hold our religious beliefs close to our hearts, but we should never ignore things happening in our social surroundings. Everything happens for a reason. If the virus is truly an angel of death sent by God as they put it, then let the same God decides when we humans shall be free from it. No human has even a shred of influence of power over divine affairs. We are all religious in some way, so any kind of the so-called divine proclamations can have a detrimental impact on perceptions of things around us. A good pastor or priest should not try to stop people from going to hospital to get treated from common illnesses. If doctors can sort out the problem, then they are better off in the hospitals. It's only when doctors have failed to cure illness and send patients home to die in the arms of their families should the religious leaders have a good reason to intervene. Since man has failed to cure them, then they can seek help from a more powerful healer. Divine intervention is always an option of last resort. When all the things and people and things around you have failed you, then run to God for a miracle, because you have no other option left. It should not be the other way round. Let the medical doctors do their job first, such that should they to perform their tricks, then can you go to churches for prayers and miraculous healing. Censorship added fuel to the fire. It is no doubt that the censorship campaigns that came with the lockdowns flared things up a little bit. When people were so eager for information regarding the disease, they were met by a wall of limited or sometimes restricted information. It made some people more brazen with regards to their own personal theories. The so-called fight against disinformation and misinformation, fake news, and dangerous news seems to be going nowhere. Do you know that when you warn children and try to stop them from listening to someone you believe is malicious, the more likely those children are going to be interested in that person? The harder you try to pull them away, the more closer they become drawn to that person. When the governments and mainstream media dismiss discussions labeling them as misinformation, the more people are likely to be interested in that story. Even when all channels are blocked from releasing that information, people will always find a way to listen to it. Blocking them makes you look like the real villain trying to hide your dirty little secrets. People say they smell a rat. That there is a great cover-up sanctioned by the state. So media censorship of the COVID-19 information is having the exact opposite effect. People are dismissing the official government information as dangerous propaganda while hailing the conspiracy theorists as heroes fighting for the freedom of speech. They are regarded as the voice of the silent majority, the true representatives of the masses. So the governments around the world need to rethink their strategy, because it appears the population is becoming harder and harder to convince each coming day. Each time they deliver the news, people are growing mistrustful, because the governments are cracking down more and more on dissent. In totalitarian countries where the state directly controls all the media outlets, citizens always dismiss all information that comes from the state media as propaganda. Even when the government is speaking 100% truth, they are always faced with skepticism. And do you know the reason why? Yes, it's because people are not allowed to openly speak their minds. Everything to do or say has to be approved by the authorities. I believe the governments of democratic countries should really rethink their strategy at the moment, because their citizens are not used to this kind of governance. Acts of threats and intimidation from the state apparatus are things they have never known since childhood. They have always known that their governments have always been there to listen to their concerns whenever the need may be. It looks like the virus itself is mocking humanity, despite the combined might of the entire world's governments, with their vast resources and brightest minds. Coronavirus seems to be winning the fight. The many months of progress from our best doctors are washed away every time the virus mutates. It's like the virus is saying, I am just not going anywhere now, I'm still around, I will definitely be here for a while, I am here to stay, I am not in a hurry to go anywhere at the moment, and for those of you who are youngsters now, I will continue to hang around with you, I will be here long enough to watch you grow up, to see your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. No more mishandling. The way the pandemic was handled was enough to raise eyebrows. We all trust our health institutions, of course, and would be willing to follow all the recommendations that our doctors give. This disease was, however, different from all the others in that it changed the world in a huge way. When people are forced to do things they have never done before with no explanations whatsoever, when they are given little to no information concerning their current subjugation and severely punished when they share information they researched themselves. When all forms of discussions are banned both online and in the local public squares, all these actions are bound to naturally create skepticisms towards public institutions, the COVID censorships of 2020 and 2021 were on another level. One heck of a surprise. What a surprise that Africa handled the pandemic pretty well. It surprised many experts around the world with the way African countries dealt with the pandemic compared to other countries in the global north. At the beginning of the pandemic in early 2020, many experts in advanced economies predicted that Africans would suffer the most casualties. They had seen how Ebola had devastated the countries of West Africa a few years back, a tragedy that prompted quick action by WHO and the international community. The plague was finally put to a halt only after everyone's cooperation. They had predicted that a similar scenario to Ebola pandemic of 2014 would happen in Africa again during the COVID hours, but this time around on a much larger scale. In January 2020, there were experts who even said that Africa will be hit so hard by COVID, tens of millions of Africans would perish and there would not be an empty space left on the continent left to bury the dead. They said that since Africa has the poorest health systems in the world, they have very few qualified healthcare professionals and practically no hospitals, and the few that exists are poorly equipped to handle epidemics of such kind. They have practically no medicines. The few pills that often get brought into the continent are either cheap, ineffective generics or counterfeits. Africa will be really hit hard and it shall be like watching a zombie apocalypse movie. It shall be something the world had never seen, they said. 2 years later in mid-2022, people had learned to deal with COVID. Yes, there were casualties in Africa, but it wasn't bad as it did to some advanced nations. It shocked everyone when it emerged that some rich advanced economies in the global north were hit the hardest by COVID, even though they were the best equipped. They had the world's best hospitals, doctors, and pharmaceutical companies. They still got millions of casualties. They bore the brunt of the COVID assault on humanity. The citizens' faith in their healthcare systems were completely shattered, for they never expected things to turn out the way they did. The naivety they had towards their healthcare was gone for good. It became apparent that luck was on Africans' side this time around. Other than the economic impacts brought about by the lockdowns, most African countries came out of the worst months of COVID unscathed. They brushed it off just like another seasonal flu. For those that remember, in the early 2000s, there was another flu epidemic that was ravaging Asia. Travel advisories and flight bans were issued at the time, but when the flu arrived in Africa, it turned out to be just another common cold. Not a single African succumbed to either swine or bird flu of the early 2000s. It is a testament of how resilient the immune systems of Africans had become after being subjected to a myriad of illnesses over the past few decades. Malaria is worse than COVID on the continent. It claims more lives in a single year than any other disease. It has continues to destroy the lives of the innocent children, especially those under the age of 5, but with intense global efforts to combat this mess, the casualty rate has been slowly declining over the decades. The so-called experts continue to question how Africa got out of something terrible as COVID-19 with only a few scratches. They had expected the worst of the worst to happen. They had expected Africans to have tens of millions of causalities, because the healthcare systems on the continent is the poorest in the world. They had very few operational hospitals, they had very few qualified doctors, zero capacity to manufacture life-saving pharmaceutical drugs, no capacity to make PPEs, no stockpile of oxygen tanks, very few operational ICU beds for every hospital. I mean, their situation looked completely hopeless to begin with. The health experts in the global north expected an apocalyptic scenario to be seen on the continent, but it didn't. Many Africans said they didn't need the expensive oxygen tanks, ICU beds of powerful drugs. All they ever did was to wash their hands and walked about their countryside as if nothing ever happened. A huge proportion of the population never even bothered to put on face masks. They felt it strange and discomforting. Despite all these disregards for protection against a dangerous airborne disease, the casualty rates were extremely low compared to the predictions. They were less than a tenth of what had been foretold. The so-called experts were even beginning to think that African countries were not reporting the correct numbers. They claimed that they were under-reporting. If you actually do your proper research, you will find that a lot of African countries were over-reporting cases. In the first few months of the pandemic in 2020, many countries on the continent were struggling to find patients infected with the virus to isolate it, and for the few they found, they inflated their numbers threefold. There are some African countries that inflated the numbers of COVID infection and death rates so that they can receive support from international donors. There were cases of patients who passed on in hospital due to health issues unrelated to COVID, yet they were added to the list of the COVID casualties. There was a guy whom I had been chatting with on the web. He said they had rushed their auntie to hospital after suffering a heart attack. She had high blood pressure and heart issues throughout her life. They were rushing her to hospital when she unfortunately passed away along the way in the car. Their beloved auntie passed away in their arms when they were rushing her to hospital. They took her there knowing what had already happened and in the hopes of resuscitating her. This family was shocked when the medical report came out later that her death was a direct result of COVID-19 complications. They were barred from taking part in the funeral ceremony. Only two members of the family were allowed to attend her burial. It shocked them beyond belief. It was after this incident that the family began to think that their own state medical teams could be inflating the COVID casualty numbers. Such stories were very common across the continent. There are many stories of how victims of road accidents were added to COVID-19 casualties. Some did this to deal with local civil unrests that were threatening to destabilize the country, so COVID being an excuse, they could now legally carry out lockdowns and curfews in troublesome areas. All in all, if the continent was to be graded along academic lines, it wasn't the best student in class with a straight A, but they performed much better than expected. Their incredible results shocked the global community who were only expecting the worst performance from them. They have once again shown the world that a pandemic can come in any shape or form, that you don't need to own an expensive pharmaceutical industry or excellent health institutions to survive a global pandemic. A few more bugs looming on the horizon. It looks like there are a few more bugs on the way yet to meet humanity face to face, just like COVID did. There is another epidemic currently spreading across the world called monkeypox. Information about the disease is still very limited. There also seems to be an overrepresentation of one racial group in the patients that appear in the web search images. The very act of WHO labeling the disease as of African origin and using black patients on its website may lead to a long-term stigmatization of Africans and black people in general. It's so sickening. There could be more epidemics of this sort on the way, but no one is completely sure what shall pop up next on the horizon. People should not continue to be callous as they did before, because such kind of behavior has always been known to bring forth untold suffering. End of experiments. Number. Final clause. We have come to the end of our conversation, looking forward to connecting to you soon. We shall have more to discuss. Please leave your thoughts and queries about this text in the reviews section. If you have something that needs further elaboration or have got some burning question, you can always text me and I shall be more than happy to respond appropriately. Write to me. dodzacri@gmail.com. *NB. Make sure you have the latest version of this text. You should check for newer versions at your favorite stores in order to get instant access to free content updates. Thank you for your time. Footnotes. My most used/favorite stylistic features. Sharp contrast. Heavy metaphor. Extravagant exaggeration. The reference to masculine characters in the above stories is not a biased motive to discriminate against any gender, it's just for the purposes of description. The author's repeated use of words such as he/him/man/king are just for the purposes of enchanting the narrative. If you feel offended by them, then feel free to replace them with whatever words you choose as you read along. These pronouns are not put in place to intimidate. You can also contact the author directly and specify which part should changes be made to and to what particular effect. The author respects all readers and will not misrepresent members of any class, age, status, or gender. All readers are precious. I am trying to avoid the inconvenience of having to jump from one side of the group to another, as it easily puts the readers off. Jumping from side to side, back and forth, here and there is really irritating. Take for instance, it's better to say, the king came out of his castle, called the knights and asked him to take him out on a ride through the royal forests and left his son in charge of the castle, than to say, the king/queen came out of his/her castle, called the knight/knightess and asked him/her to take him/her out on a ride through the royal forest and left his/her son/daughter in charge of the castle. Textual homogeneity. Some aspects of the words, phrases, and stories share lots of similarities with one another. The keen reader who repeatedly cross-check between different titles will definitely notice this trend. If characters are portrayed in such a sluggish manner that makes the text boring to the reader, then reader please remember to inform the author as soon as possible. Cover image, a chemical scientist showing the results of his experiments in a typical laboratory setting, theme by the author.